welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 102. That's 102. This is the podcast for conversations with church leaders about social media, and I am DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in and staying connected with us at our website, socialmedia.church. And now that we're into our 102 episode, I got a high recommendation through Twitter for a conversation with Casey Proctor, someone I should have on this podcast. And that's exactly what I did, is to call him up and to see what he is doing. And from his bio, it's rather broad. It says that he is a husband, a dad, and a writer. He's a book devourer, coffee addict, and frequent abuser of the Queen's English. He's also a Lego fan and Saved by Grace and sleep deprived. And my background check found out that he is also the online campus pastor at New Life Church in Renton, Washington. He also recently started podcasting at Dad Life Rules. And he is one of the co-founders of Church Mag Press. So listen in as we call up Casey Proctor.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you, Casey?
Fine, how are you, DJ?
Thanks for making some time to chat.
Hey, no problem.
Man, you're very active online. Look at you.
I'm a busy guy.
Married life rules and dad life rules and real life rules.
I try.
And what other life is coming? I mean, you've got so many hats. Which one is your main thing?
What is my main thing? So, the one that puts bacon on the table is my day job. I work at Starbucks headquarters in human resources.
Oh, for real? You are a real Starbucks partner. I thought you were just joking.
I'm a full-time Starbucks partner. So that brings home the bacon, mostly. And then I'm also the, online campus pastor and social media director for New Life Church,
yes,
here in Renton, which is just outside of Seattle. I'm also heavily involved with Church Mag, which you may or
yes,
may not be familiar with, and helped Eric launch Church Mag Press, which is a digital publishing arm of Church Mag. And so we already have, I think, 9 titles out with 5 more slotted by the end of the year.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we're excited. And then that's, you know, that's all the professional stuff. And I also have a podcast, Dad Life Rules, that I just launched a couple
right,
episodes in.
Right.
And I write about married life and dad life and real life stuff. And yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. How do you do
it
all?
It's never boring.
Right. I mean, because with as much as you do, how do you have time to be a dad?
Well, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. And I do all my stuff on the side in the margin after they go to bed. So I get home, I leave the house in the morning between 3:30 and 4. It takes a little bit to get moving that early in the morning. But then I go work out, I get on the bus, ride to work. I get home between 6:30 usually. And so dinner with the family, hanging out, help with homework, doing chores, do some dishes. Kids go to bed between 8 and 8:30. And then after that is when I get all the side stuff done.
Well, so the secret is to go on less sleep.
Right. And I drink an inordinate amount of coffee.
Well, good thing you work at Starbucks.
Right. Yes.
Well, thank you for joining me on Social Media Church. And we definitely want to spend a bulk of our time talking about how you do social media at church. And then we'll talk a bit about podcasting and authoring.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So how did you get connected into being an online campus pastor at New Life?
That's an interesting story. I started off as the social media director for the first year, and then our church launched our online campus this last April. And so that was kind of the segue into that. I started off with the social media piece, and then when we launched it, just kind of made sense to have me be the first one to take a crack at the online campus.
And all of this is volunteer then?
No, I am part-time on staff.
Part-time?
So, yes.
And did the part-time grow when you went from social media director to online campus?
No, because they're still trying to figure out how it fits within the larger staff. So I was originally, for 2 years, I was our host team director. So all of our ushers and greeters at the church and really being involved with the first impression of our primary campus and making sure people feel welcome in that environment. And then we had a consultant come in and do kind of a mystery shopper sort of assessment of our church and where our opportunities were. And while we get a lot of things right, there's always things that can be improved on. And his the gentleman's feedback was that we needed to have a dedicated focus on social media. And I was picked for that because it made sense from the standpoint of being responsible for the tangible physical atmosphere of being welcoming on the campus and then translating that to our digital presence online and engaging with people and making sure they felt welcome in the digital space and social media. And the reason why I was on the radar for that was because years earlier, I had actually created a fake profile for our senior pastor.
A parody
account of our senior pastor. And I was very respectful, but it was done in jest, and no one figured out it was me for like 3 months. I had grown a small following from people who attended the church and stuff, but they found out it was me. So for the longest time after that, you know, they would our lead pastor, Pastor Troy, would see me and he would call me fake Troy Jones. but he was a real good sport about it and we had a lot of fun. So,
wow, what a backstory. That's amazing. And so you go from social media director to on campus. You're spending how much time of your week doing that?
So I would say during the weekdays, I probably spend 1 or 2 hours a day on the social media stuff. Mm. And then on the weekends, I'm there for each of our three services. We have a service on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And so that's, you know, probably between 3 and 5 hours, you know, if you add up all the service time and then prep beforehand. And then also coordinating our volunteers because we have some online hosts who help facilitate conversation in the chat and answer basic questions and also pray for people.
Time talking about how what you did during the social media director days, how did you mm-hmm. translate your church's culture and vibe into the online world to be part of that welcoming atmosphere?
Okay. Up until that point, we didn't really have a social media strategy necessarily. Our posts were infrequent, not always the best formatted, felt kind of disjointed, and some basic strategy was needed. And so in kind of translating that atmosphere was to ensure that our communications are, you know, what the content we put out and the interactions that we have are very personable. They're not, you know, and that the folks we interact with online know that it's a real person responding, you know. And so when you're representing a church online, you know, it's different than maybe a corporate organization because, let's say, you know, or a personal brand. Let's take Justin Wise, for example. He's the face of Think Digital. And so his following
Think Digital.
Interact-
Think Digital.
Yes, Think Digital.
There you go.
And so his interaction as an individual on Twitter and Facebook and other social media channels is much higher. He has a much greater following and level of engagement as an individual tied to that brand than the brand does itself, because the brand is not a face. You know, Think Digital is a logo, it's a service, it's a course, it's great material and it's awesome and I love the stuff that comes out of it, but you know, people connect with people to a far greater depth and volume than they do with brands. And so I think somewhat of the challenge in and if you were to look at, you know, large mega churches and to compare the social media following of the lead pastor versus the church, 90% of the time, that lead pastor has a far greater following in the social media space and has that level of opportunity and impact versus the church's accounts and profiles because of that that face. And so in representing New Life, and facilitating those interactions online within social media, it's the challenge is, even though the image on the screen might be the church's logo as far as the avatar goes, still responding in a very personal way. And when private messages go back and forth, I'll usually sign them so that they know, who they're talking to, because then that creates a connection with someone. Because we'll get people who land on our Facebook page and they'll email and say, "Hey, when's service?" And instead of saying, "Well, did you check?" Replying back and saying, "Well, here, did you check the website? Here, check out the website." I'll tell them. I'll say, "Hey, thanks for checking out our church. My name is Casey. I'm the social media guy, and you can find, here's the service times for this weekend. Here's what the current series. And if you want more information on XYZ, you can go here." And providing them that interaction and welcoming feeling and that personal touch as much as possible.
You can do that in a Facebook message. A little harder to do in a tweet when you have less than 100 characters.
Yes, this is true.
And so you do try to respond personally by adding initials, possibly?
Not so much on Twitter. The large majority of our audience is Facebook centric, whether that's a combination of our demographic, demographics and geographics. We are much heavier, involved in Facebook. So we are present. We have accounts on Twitter, and I'll interact with folks there, but the largest, we get the most interaction on Facebook. So that's where my primary focus is.
And Facebook has changed over the years.
Oh, yes.
And so how do you, let's see, I'm looking at your timeline now, and you've got some quotes and photos, and it gets some likes. The magic question is, how do you get people to comment and to share? Do you have any insight on that?
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, Facebook is always, always changing. And we want to provide value to our audience and to anyone who lands on our page, whether or not they attend our church or watch online. We want to provide value to their day. And so my overarching strategy has been characterized by, I call it the 4I principle. And it's to inspire, to inquire, to interact, and to inform. And so inspiration comes in the form of verses and sermon quotes and graphics or photos that can accompany those. Information is, our next series is going to be on James or John, or we have an event coming up this weekend. Interaction comes in the form of asking those questions and wanting to drive that interaction. So it's in trying to drive the engagement level and to get people to respond. It's a combination of asking questions and staying relevant to what's going on in people's lives. So for us, two big examples of that were, we're located just in the greater Seattle area. So really close to the Super Bowl, we created this mashup parody of a Macklemore song, who is a Seattle, his hometown is Seattle, and he's a big Seahawks fan. So we mashed up one of his songs, and our worship pastor wrote these awesome lyrics, and we created a video, and it went viral and was on local radio stations, and we got some shout outs and stuff. And so, we measured the engagement level for that, and we hit about 1 million people with that one, a million different impressions with that one piece of content because of being aware of what's going on in our area and our region. And so part of driving that, the engagement for your church, is also being aware of not just the culture at large, but your local culture and what's going on in the community. Not everything you share has to be a Bible verse or a sermon quote or a Bible study resource. You know, you can have other or even content that's exclusive to your church. Share stuff from other people. You know, I will share quotes from, you know, pastors that aren't, you know, at our church, that are part of other organizations, because it's content that's going to add value to the lives of people who attend New Life and see New Life.
Yeah, that's good. You're joining the conversation that's in your community, in your city, and things that bring value to your audience. How do you know you're successful?
That's a great question. I think that's still something that we're trying to define, to be honest with you, because there are the vanity metrics, you know, as Justin Wise is fond of saying, and that's the last time I'll call him out, but you know, what do retweets and followers and likes really mean? You know, what is the story behind that level of engagement? Obviously, you know, as the church part, it is our privilege to leverage technology for kingdom purposes, to redeem it, if you will, in a world where technology and many other tools are used for other nefarious purposes. And success is more of what's behind that. What's your goal? So like, if our goal is to get 2,000 people to sign up for small groups this next session, success as defined through social media would be, okay, how many click-throughs and registrations are we driving through Facebook and Twitter or Instagram, or our, you know, online service platform to track that? You know, how many people are just, you know, organically
going, and you can track the actions because digital things leave a digital trail.
Exactly. Google Analytics is a powerful tool for that. And there's a couple other tools that I've used before. But the Google Analytics platform is fantastic. And as far as staying ahead of, not ahead, but staying relevant, keeping up with the changes and stuff on social media, whether that's, you know, trends and changes within Facebook or Twitter or even new platforms, is, I think it's very important for church leaders and specifically the marketing and social media folks to be tapped into resources that are not necessarily created within the Christian space.
Mm-hmm. You know, for example, so what do you keep an eye on or an ear on?
So I follow a few key blogs for that, and I listen to a number of podcasts. So I listen to Think Digital, and the market for that is mostly churches and nonprofits. But Social Media Examiner and the podcast that accompanies that is an amazing resource, as well as a podcast called Social Media Pros, and then some other marketing ones. The Fizzle Show, they are colorful in their commentary at times, but they have some really solid insight into marketing and brands online.
I don't know the Fizzle Show. I have to check that out.
Yeah, you highly recommend that. I'm actually pulling up my phone here. Yeah, Social Media Marketing is the podcast associated with Social Media Examiner. Yeah, I think it's keeping a pulse on the industry and the market of social media inside and outside the church. So, yeah, you know, looking at other churches and seeing what they do well and putting your own spin on it, I think is great. We did a and also kind of to circle back to how do you get your audience to engage is you give them the opportunity to tell their own story, because people like to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want to matter, make a difference. This last Easter, we did a campaign where we dubbed it Redeem the Selfie. And what we invited people to do was to take a piece of paper or use an app on their phone and take a selfie where they would have the hashtag. It would be hashtag redeemed. So they would write hashtag redeemed on a piece of paper or use an app. This one guy painted it on a bunch of lockers and took a selfie with himself. It was a really cool photo. And we had people do that because traditionally, you know, when we would, or in years past, when we would share Easter service information on social media, it was, hey, it's Easter again, basically. Hey, it's Easter again. Here's the day. Here's the service times. Invite your friends and family. That's purely informational. It's not engaging. People aren't going to necessarily share that with their friends and family. And if they do, their friends and family aren't, you know, they're going to be like, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, it doesn't evoke any emotion or real response. It's just a piece of information. But what we did with these photos is we wanted people to take the selfie with hashtag redeemed and then tell a piece of their story. So mine was, I'm a dad, I'm a writer, I'm a sinner, I am redeemed. And so I would share that on, you know, I shared that on my own social media channels, and it was a way for me to create a story, to tell a story, to create an instance of engagement with, you know, my friends and family who I connect with, you know, through social media channels. And, you know, I could include a link to, you know, the page where the service times were stored on, you know, the New Life website, but the purpose and point of it was to engage with people. And so, we had a lot of people participate in that, and it was really great to see some of the stories come out of it, because that created an opportunity for them to really, you know, go below the surface on social media, which can often very much be, you know, very shallow.
That's really good. You've really cultivated that ground. And when did you know it was right, time-wise, to launch an online campus, and what did you want to have in place when you launch?
So, that's a good question. Our leadership,
is that people kind of want to know, and sometimes people just stumble into it, but sometimes they're really strategic. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get your story because that'll help other church leaders to discern.
That's a great question. Our church, 2 years before we launched the online campus, we opened our first sister campus, secondary one. So we had begun the exploring the multi-site model of being a church, and working in social media, and you know, we. Our leadership is very strategic and visionary, and they're not afraid to try things and fail. And so I wouldn't say we stumbled into it, but some of the attitude was, let's give this a shot and see what happens. Because, you know, we're a larger church in our region, and we want to reach people wherever they are. And so, following, you know, and we did a ton of research ahead of time, and we actually we were going to launch 6 months earlier, but we waited because we wanted to have the systems and infrastructure and people support in place to start off on the right foot. You know, they approached me in advance and said, we're going to be launching an online campus. We'd like you to step into, you know, add this role to your responsibilities. And I jumped at the opportunity, cause we've been attending New Life, I think for like 6 or 7 years now. And we just love it there. It's part of our family. And so our church averages, I want to say 3,500 a week. And what doing an online campus is so much cheaper than launching a physical campus. And it takes much less work and effort, but can have such a huge ripple effect. So I would say the return on investment for an online campus is huge, because not only are you able to engage with people who are already part of your church body, who for whatever reason can't make it to church that weekend, you know, they might be traveling, they might be sick, you know, whatever. You create an online community for them, and then they're able to share it, because like for me, I have relatives on the East Coast, and they've, you know, joined me for church a couple of times, and that's been amazing, you know, to see that. And we had a gal who got baptized, and she was from Japan originally, and her mom had flown in to be there, but her dad couldn't make it. But we had the online campus, so her dad is in Japan and was able to watch her baptism live because we had this online campus. And so it was just stories like that, and the ability to reach people who can't get out. One of my hosts, one of my volunteers, she has a family member who has medical issues, and so she has to constantly supervise them and be near them. And so she hasn't been able to leave the house on Sunday mornings to get to church for years. But because we have an online campus, she's able not only to participate and stay connected to her church body and to that family of believers, but to serve as well, you know. And that just, she's one of my rock stars. I just love working with her. She's fantastic.
Yes, putting a team of people around you definitely makes it more fun. And it's great to hear that she's really unleashed and finding an area to serve and to be passionate about. Your church describes itself as one church, 11 gatherings. And so yes. Which gathering is the online campus part of?
So that would be three of those. So we have three. So at our main campus, we have 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I'm looking at it.
So we have, so we have six different gatherings at our main campus each weekend. At our second campus, we have three. And then the online campus, we have three. And so, that would be 11. Yeah.
And then you've got a new one launching in February 2015.
We do. Yeah. We have another campus launching this February. And so one of my challenges on the social media front is that I am the sole social media resource for all of the campuses. And so we have, we already have our new campus accounts online and live, so that people who are, you know, live in that community and are going to be part of the volunteers and staff and start to attend that campus can start to engage on that different platforms. But, you know, my challenge is I'm only one person and I only have a limited amount of time. And so I manage those four campus, the social accounts for each of those campuses. And I assist our lead pastor as well. And so part of my challenge this next fiscal year, if you will, is to build up a volunteer team of folks to help me generate content from each of the campuses so that it stays relevant and isn't just a carbon copy across each one.
Good. And that's a question I'll want to check back with you as you roll that out, because
definitely
connect with multi-site churches. They wrestle with the question of how much do you have a local voice and how much do you have a unified voice? And does that look like multiple Facebook pages or one Facebook page and so on and so on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so to wrap up on the online campus portion, so people from around the world and people connected to the New Life Church relationally can join the online worship and participate in the service. Do you try to do anything else with your online attenders, small groups wise or discipleship wise? Do you count them as members? Do you try to do communion and baptism?
So we do, there's a bunch of questions in there. So we do communion. So Saturday nights, we do communion at our main campus. And so that is where the video feed is coming from. For the online, the live feed to our online campus is from our main campus. And so we do communion. And so we try to facilitate that online and invite people to participate and to just step away for a moment to grab some juice and bread or, you know, what they might have with them and to participate, you know, in the church body's communion. We haven't wrestled, we haven't tackled the baptism one yet, but we're starting to explore what a online small group, we call them life groups, what an online life group would look like and how to best facilitate that as far as, you know, leadership and technology and that sort of thing. So we're looking into it.
That's good. Those are kind of the big questions when people go online is like, well, is it more than a video feed and how much more?
Right.
And so,
well, we use the city, which is kind of a contained community platform for
a private social network.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. Uh-huh. The city doesn't like to put it that way, but that's really what it is.
Well, you have to speak the language of the people.
I would agree with you.
So
there.
That's all.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do and build up is to have, so within the city, we have the ability for folks to say, you know, they are part of the New Life Church family, but they attend this campus. So they're not going to get communications for events at the other campuses because mm-hmm. it's not relevant to them, you know, mm-hmm. or if they don't have kids, they're not going to get stuff about the kids ministry because it's mm-hmm. not relevant to them, you know, that sort of thing. And so what we're still in the process of doing is building up, because we're only about April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, so we're just 6 months into this. And so we're trying to build up the online campus within the city to create a place for that online community to happen. And that's where we'll also kind of drive and explore the life group phase as well.
Well, thanks for letting us peek in as you're in this early phase launching out. And it sounds like it's something that's going to continue. You've had good success in engaging with the online audience then.
Awesome. Thanks, DJ.
Now, I want to make sure we get just a few minutes to talk about your Church Mag Press and your podcast. So you've got 11 titles published already. How many of those are written by yourself?
I haven't written any of them. I'm the editor, we have authored, well, I take that back. I contributed to the social media handbook.
See, I knew you did something.
And I also wrote the essential social media content strategy guide, which is a very long name. And that resource is only, I think, $1. And it is – that basically outlines the four I's that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast.
Excellent.
And how to implement those as your strategy.
Okay.
So it's just $1, and we'll actually be updating that resource by the end of the year. And if you buy it now, you'll get the update for free.
Excellent. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but go ahead and say what link people can go to on the audio.
So if you just go to churchmagpress.com, that'll take you there, and just scroll down to the bottom and you'll see the essential guide.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And what's been the best seller?
Our top seller so far has been Rethinking Your Church Web Strategy by Jonathan Mound. Mm-hmm. He did a fantastic job on that, and it's been one of our best ones. The second one was the Social Media Handbook, which is one of my favorites because it was our first kind of full-scale ebook and was a collaboration of six of our authors who regularly write for Church Mag in the social media space. And so this dives pretty deep into each of the platforms, talks about the theological implications of social media, why the church should be on, what are the risks and benefits, how to create like policies and guidelines around social media, things to think about like that. So it's a pretty robust resource. And where that was probably my first pride and joy would probably be that one.
Looking for more authors, how people contribute.
Right. So for people who want to publish with Church Mag Press, they can just go to churchmagpress.com, get published. And it is the reason why I love I really am proud of Church Mag Press and I'm excited about it is because it helps bridge the gap between self-publishing and your traditional publishing house, like Thomas Nelson and Zondervan. And
what so this Church means Mag does, you take a smaller cut?
sort of. Yes, probably. Yeah, probably. Because I don't know what Thomas Nelson gets. But here's how it works. We work with an author and we do the marketing plan. We do all of the formatting for the ebook files. We do all the back end stuff as far as, you know, hosting and all of the different ins and outs of Amazon and creating a e-commerce solution on Church Mag Press. We take care of all of that stuff, customer service, returns, everything like that, and, you know, continue to promote it into the future. And the author gets to leverage the Church Mag platform. Church Mag got over 1 million unique hits last year and is a significant resource within the church tech space and will continue to grow because this is just the beginning. We've got more plans down the road. And so what this provides is it provides authors who either don't have an established platform at all or have one that they want to grow even further. Use Church Mag for that end. It's been great to work with some really smart people. The last ebook we had come out was Identity Crisis, which was a 21-day devotional by Michael Perkins. And he is just, for one, he has an amazing beard that I envy. But then he has such a big heart for people and for God. He loves Jesus and people the way I wish I did. He's just incredible. He's very humble, and he just has a big heart.
He does have a very cool beard, and I see that when you buy the ebooks online there, you can get it in PDF, EPUB, and Mobi, and then you can also click over to Amazon and get it for the Kindle. So
yep,
you've covered all the channels.
That's right. When you buy it on Church Mag Press, you get all three versions.
Ah, good to know.
Yep.
And then... how'd you get into podcasting?
I've been a big fan of podcasts for a long time. I subscribe probably to about 20 of them. I don't get to listen to each of the new episodes every week, sadly, but I wanted to explore podcasting because I enjoy conversations. Social media has opened up a world to me of connections with people who I never would have had the opportunity to meet. Not only online, but in person as well. I've had the chance to meet Carlos Whitaker. I got to set up a meetup for John Acuff here in Seattle. And I have met and connected with Michael Perkins and Church Mag and hundreds of other people and created real friendships with them. And for me, podcasting was that next step beyond the blogosphere and social media, because it's recorded conversations where you're getting to talk about real life stuff and then share that with the world. And so with Dad Life Rules, rules is kind of a dual meaning. It means rules as in guidelines and principles, but it also means rules as in it is awesome. Dad life is awesome, and I love being a dad. I've got three kids, and so the mission and goal for Dad Life Rules was to have conversations with fathers from every walk of life, average Joes, entrepreneurs, authors, athletes, and everything in between, and focus not on their job or their product or their service or their career, but to talk about their roles as fathers and dads and their experience. What they struggle with, and to kind of hone in on a topic each week. And so I've talked to, you know, the first episode is about being a stepdad. Excuse me. I'm a stepdad. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a great conversation with a fellow stepdad. I've talked to two adoptive fathers. I've talked to entrepreneurs, a podcaster, a real estate agent, and I've got, you know, some other guys, you know, lined up to talk with, but it's just been great to get real, to kind of peel back the layers a little bit of, you know, of how much we hustle every day at our day jobs or dream jobs and, you know, promoting our own stuff online and to get at the heart of stuff.
Excellent. And I'll be adding that to my podcatcher And I'm on an Android, so I use Pocket Casts.
Great.
And welcome to the world podcasting. And perhaps your next frontier at New Life Church might be a church podcast where you have some conversation about what's happening in your community and church.
I would love to do that. I think my next goal is also to get our church to have a blog going, because I think we have some tremendous leaders, both volunteers and non-staff, who I think can provide some really valuable content connection and community through a blog for New Life. So that's on my radar as well.
Well, thank you for serving New Life Church well and the world through the podcast, blog, and your little publishing house there.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, DJ.
Well, great connecting with Casey, and hope to meet you in person one day.
You too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Casey Proctor. And the show notes will be at socialmedia.church. And if you remember the old website address, socialmediachurch.net, that will still work. But we have moved to the new top-level domain of .church. So the web address you'll want to update to is socialmedia.church. And there you'll find the show notes to all the good things that Casey Proctor is doing. And if you're a dad, or you're interested in being a dad, or you care about your husband who is a dad, Dad Life Rules is Casey Proctor's podcast where he has conversations with dads. And I'll also add links to Church Mag Press and a couple other things that we talked about during our conversation. And for this conversation to continue, I'd love to hear back from you. So when you go to socialmedia.church, you can click on Twitter or Facebook or Google+, or even email and send me a short note about what's on your mind, what you're discovering about social media. And I'm finding through my Google Alerts and other notification systems, there's quite a bit of chatter about how social media is changing the church. And there's been some recent news of a transition at a prominent church up there in Seattle that I will not mention by name. And perhaps if I have someone who is more acquainted with that situation join me on a future episode, we can delve into that. But it is fast engaging into the church world, and social media is a powerful force, not just in Egypt's government being overturned, but it is changing the way church is being done and affected through this new mode of communication where everybody has a voice that can reach the world instantly, globally, and even permanently. Really raises a lot of new questions, right? Well, thank you for tuning in. Subscribe at socialmedia.church, whether you use iTunes, Stitcher, or some RSS podcatcher, or just listen in on our website. That's okay too. socialmedia.church. I'll wrap up this episode here. Thank you for listening. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, let's stay connected online.